that have absolutely no place in our worship of God. I'm not saying you have those. I'm saying we must weigh everything we do and ask, is that of God and is it God-honoring or not? And that's one of these things. We can't impress God, and some of the things we do just doesn't make sense. So all of us just have to keep these things in mind with confession and repentance and understanding that God says, yes, I've done everything for you, but we must never devalue him and never elevate ourselves. You know, I don't care how many years you've been a Christian. We can never impress God. I can never impress God. But God can receive me as a son and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because I've given in to the Holy Spirit's way. So Moses is intervening, making sure this happens. Verse 14 and 15, then Moses went down to the mountain to the people. He sanctified them. He cleansed them in the name of God, told them what to do, and they washed their clothes. Verse 15, Moses said to the people, be ready for the third day, and do not get near your wives. Now, I don't have time to get into all of that, but there is a point to, if you want to just be blunt, sexual intercourse and the way that it honors or dishonors God. And understanding that there's this time of how then things that we don't even understand can defile our bodies and our relationship with God. He's saying, these things have got to be taken care of. You cannot approach me in a haphazard way. Okay, guys, have you ever went to your wife in a haphazard way when maybe she's cooking something or done something for you? And my wife has a habit of always asking, she really cares if I like the food she's made. Sometimes I'll just go, yeah, it's good, but I really don't communicate, yeah, I really enjoy it. Now, there's days I don't always enjoy it. She wants to try to stretch me, right? But my point is do I give thanks to her for that which she's done? And this idea of God saying, when you approach me, are you giving thanks to me and knowing that, again, it's this idea of responding the way you should and understanding you cleanse yourself, you get out of the way what's between you and I. And the problem between you and I always is never God's fault. Do you know that? Whenever I catch myself getting mad at God or doing something because of the situation, I'm like, I know, it's not your fault, it's mine. It's not your attitude, it's got to be changed, it's mine. So this is where we're at, and God is taking them now to meet with him. Now, I know it's probably getting a little late here for you, but I just want to go to a cross-reference and drive this home to you because it's not just an Old Testament thing. If you walk away today and say, well, that's what the Old Testament people did, that's what God did to those people, then you're missing it, because in Hebrews chapter 12, it brings this whole study of Exodus 19 to you and I personally. So verse 20, it says, for they, the Old Testament people, the reference here, could not bear what was commanded to them, even if an animal touches the mountain. We just read through this in the Old Testament in Exodus 19, it or they must be stoned. Verse 21, in fact, the scene was so terrifying to Moses that I shudder with fear. Okay, verse 22. So this is all about God's supremacy and us having reverent fear for God. Verse 22. But you've come to this Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the myriads of angels, to the assembly, the congregation, the firstborn, who are then enrolled in heaven. That's who you and I are as Christians. And to God then, we come before him, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteousness, have been made perfect. And you then have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and you've been sprinkled with blood. He's sprinkled that on for us. It's better thing than Abel's offering in the truest sense, okay? Verse 25. So then take care, we must realize to take care to refuse the one who is speaking, not to refuse the one who is speaking. God's ways are God's ways, and you can't get God to change. When he says, you must approach me this way, we better appreciate it. Verse 25, second part, for if they did not escape when they refused, this is reference back to Exodus 19, the one who warned them on earth, how much less then if we then reject the one who warns us from heaven? So here's your last couple of things for your key truths. Here's the fourth, okay, in your bulletin. Every Christian must realize that they have been restored to their created position with God, their creator. Through then Jesus' completed work, providing redemption, we alone can then properly value God, and then begin to allow the Holy Spirit to purify our worship of him as the Holy Spirit continues to refine us. Let me pause for a minute. In our previous church, we had a pretty big praise team at one time. What, 10, 15 people involved in that? Probably pushing it with they all show up. The woman in charge of music directing those people, came to me and said, I don't know how to get everybody on the same page. And I said, well, for one thing, you need to stop making it so much fun, and you need to understand that you need to emphasize that this is an act of worship of God. This isn't just us coming to play musical instruments or to do what we think we're good at doing. And she said, I know that, but I don't know how to get that across to them. And she never did. And that was one of the reasons, actually, that our church went through one of its splits. And the emphasis of that was, it's like, you can't cheapen God's standard. And because of that, things always will take effect here. So we must purify our worship of him. A newborn Christian can only worship God, in a sense, this way. But as they grow and mature, they should be able to worship God in this way. And so on, and all of us are that. So here's then the fifth key point. Christians must responsibly appreciate Jesus' intervention is still providing us. I need that intervention, and so do you. Failure to be appreciative then testifies to the authenticity of our salvation. Our appreciation testifies to God. Have you ever given someone a gift and they're pretty snotty about what it was and how they got it? It doesn't go over very well with you, does it? The Holy Spirit's further refining then causes the Christian to further appreciate, to be appreciative of God's greatness and are still being in process to becoming more like Jesus. Now the last point, the sixth key truth here, is reverent fear is the only appropriate response to God, which then qualifies our appreciating of him. Reverent fear will always then be a part of our authentically redeemed child's eternal DNA. God knows already how we're going to worship him forever. He knows we're in process, but hopefully we're a willing participant. And I'll just add one last thing. Personal experience, ongoing. Hopefully you're experiencing it to some degree too. God will correct you. Do you want it to be an embracing correction, or you want that correction? Because I'll tell you, that correction, it's pretty painful. It'll get us the same place. But we must understand that as a living person for Jesus, our entire life is an act of worship. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We praise you. I'm glad we get to meet these brothers and sisters here in Christ, and someday we'll all be talking, perhaps we'll bump into each other in heaven and say, you remember when? And we can just reflect back again. This is all about you and your grace and mercy and your kindness and just the incredible gift of salvation. And I pray that anybody here that doesn't yet know Jesus as Lord and Savior truly, maybe perhaps today something the Spirit has convicted them of, they'll release that to you and accept you as their Savior. And most certainly Mark can get involved here. Pastor Mark can get involved in helping them then. And we just pray that you continue to grow each and every one of us, the members of this church and beyond its walls. But we do this in the name of Jesus as an ongoing act of worship. Amen.